there, and thank you for tuning in to Mormon Channel Daily. I'm Charlotte Kniep. We hear all the time that it's harder to make friends and social connections as you leave home or school, especially after the age of 30. Yet sometimes, when we do have new acquaintances and friendships come into our circle, we have a tendency to push them away instead of working to develop a solid friendship. Laura L. Karstensen, who is a psychology professor at Stanford University, observed that people tend to interact with fewer people as they move towards the midlife, but that they grow closer to friends that they already had. She says, quote, "The truth is, we let life get in the way, we spend more time with our families and lifelong friends, and less time with casual friends, and the least amount of time with new acquaintances," close quote. Marriage and family therapist Elisa Goodwin-Snell joins me today to discuss why we do this and how we can improve in creating more meaningful social relationships as we get older. Take a listen. So, Elisa, we hear all the time that it's harder to make friends and social connections as we get older. And even though it's difficult to make those new connections, it feels like sometimes we tend to push new people, new acquaintances away. Why do you think that is?
And I think a lot of it is we don't really even realize we're pushing them away. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I did is I created this self-test that people could do and they could go through and really get a true assessment of what they're really doing in social situations. The reason I created it is because I really see from an attachment perspective that we are doing more disconnection than connection. And so I often talk about the anxious and avoidant attachment pattern, and our goal is to create a secure attachment pattern. But a lot of our society is starting to do a lot more of avoidant attachment. And as we get older, we tend to, especially as we're older and single, we tend to have more hurt and more defenses, more walls up. Mm-hmm. We don't want to look needy. We've been rejected enough. We don't want to kind of put ourselves out there. So right. What we end up doing is we end up doing these very safe communication techniques that we think are inviting other people in, when in actuality, you're not inviting other people for more closeness. So I refer to this as invitations, pushaways, and stalemates. And the reason I call it that is it's really difficult from attachment theory to go from theory about attachment to, well, how do we actually change that in like the everyday specific, you know, what we're doing and what we're saying. And so I'm just going to give you an example from one of the first questions in this. And I want you to tell me what you think each one of these is. And the first question is, when in social situations, A, I stay aloof, focus on my phone, or limit eye contact. So how often do we see this in social situations, would you say?
All the time.
Body language is closed. My legs are close together. My arms are close to my body or folded across my body. You know, I'm not leaning forward. I'm sitting back. All of that body language says I'm closed off. My head's in my phone. My eyes are on my phone.
I'm
my head's not up.
Right.
I'm not inviting. I'm not inviting anyone to approach. And so, but oftentimes in social situations, we're doing that body language, and then we go home from these events, and you feel like nobody talked to me,
mm-hmm.
and you feel like everybody else is pushing you away. When in reality, this behavior says that I'm pushing the other person.
I don't want to talk to anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
B, I wait for others to approach me and engage only if they do. Would that be an invitation, push away, or stalemate?
I think it's a push away because you're not actively doing anything, but it's a stalemate as well because you expect so much of other people and you're not willing to do anything yourself.
Until they do it. Mm-hmm. They take the first risk, and then if they come over and they talk to me, I'll talk to them. The challenge with this is actually just a push away. And the reason being is that all of the work is left up to the other person.
Right.
And they don't know when they get there that you'll continue the conversation.
They don't know what your expectations are.
They don't know, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they might take the risk and they might start the conversation, but you might shut them down or you might open it up and communicate with them. And if singles and teens and young adults and people who ought to make more friends don't realize that that's actually what they're doing, that they're leaving all the responsibility to the other person. They might think that they're inviting people when in actuality, you know, they're not doing enough to really create an invitation for closeness. C, I say hi and smile warmly. Would that be an invitation, push away, or stalemate?
I think that's an invitation.
It's not.
Really?
It's not an invitation. It is still a stalemate because I'm giving them nothing to work with. Does it feel like they're just doing the bare minimum of effort and work? Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to respond to that. And someone just comes up and says hi to me. I don't know if they want me to be closer. I don't know if they want me to share about my day. I don't know mm-hmm. if they want me to ask about their day. I have no idea what to do with this. Now, this is a stalemate, not a push away, because at least I'm engaging and I'm initiating in some way, which would also indicate that if they approached me and started a conversation, I might reciprocate. Mm-hmm. But at best, this is a stalemate.
Interesting. And it's, and like you alluded to, we do this in dating a lot, whether it's online dating or in person, and we make these really casual connections, if you can even call it a connection.
Yeah.
But then socially with friends, it's that ambiguous, oh, hi, how are you?
Exactly.
That you're not even really listening to a response. And when someone, if someone were to actually say how they are and go through their day and all of the things that went right or wrong, it would kind of take us aback mm-hmm. and we wouldn't really know what to do with it. But it would also open the door to a further conversation.
Well, and if that person were to actually share, they are inviting us in for closeness. The problem is we become a society of disconnection instead of connection.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are actually inviting more closeness, we're so busy, we're so stressed that a lot of times if they invite us over for dinner or if they say, hey, let's go to a movie or if let's do this or let's do that, we shut them down.
Yeah.
And we don't follow through. We don't say, when can we do it? That sounds mm-hmm. great. We don't follow up. We expect them to have to follow up with us. So not only did they invite us,
yeah.
now they have to follow up with a text. Now they have to coordinate when we're going to do it. And we might even cancel at the last minute because we're not sure we even want to do it. All of the responsibility
right.
is on them. No wonder we become a society of pushaways, because so much investment has to go in and the other person may not even respond. And so the question that I would have here is, if you feel so disconnected, ask yourself seriously, if someone were to invite you, would you respond?
Mm-hmm.
Would you cancel? Would you make them do all the work? Or would you do these next two things? So let's go with the D and E. D, I approach several people and either use their name or introduce myself and learn their name. I ask questions that show I'm interested in them. Are you that person who actually not only goes out and asks people questions and engages with them, and or are you the person who waits for them to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And even when somebody finally does this with you, do you shut them down or do you engage fully and reciprocate? This, without this level of awareness, nothing is going to change. Would you say that that is a clear invitation?
I don't know if it's an invitation like, oh, we should get together sometime. Why don't you come over for dinner? But I think it's a clear invitation that you want to talk to them
mm-hmm.
and that you're open to developing some sort of a relationship.
And hence, this is the problem. Very rarely am I seeing people who have a clear understanding of what it really means to invite people in. And
mm-hmm.
so without really spelling this out, they keep missing the mark and then they keep wondering why people aren't responding to them. And E, I approach many people, show enthusiasm, touch them on occasion, give compliments, and tell them I would love to spend more time getting to know them. What's the
yeah.
difference between D and E?
It takes a lot more initiative, and it's making a clear invitation by saying, I would love to see you more outside of the context of this
mm-hmm.
setting. I think D also is... could be almost a little bit selfish sometimes. It's
mm-hmm.
it's almost saying like, oh, look at how great I am.
Everybody likes me.
Look how much everyone likes me. Look how great I am at remembering everyone's names and how engaging and funny I am.
Mm-hmm.
But E takes it a step further and says, I care about you.
And I want time with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously this can be done in stages. I think the most important thing we need to see in social situations is, what is it I want to invite the person to that would create more closeness for
mm-hmm.
me? Does that make sense? And for them, am I just giving them compliments? Am I just making them feel great, which is good, but what am I really actually saying I want? And unless we start asking ourselves, what am I missing? What do I
mm-hmm.
want more of? What do I, if I'm going to get that thing that I want more of, what does it look like? And how can I invite people to do that?
I think the important thing to note is that even though it can be kind of vulnerable, like you were saying, and it can be awkward sometimes, to extend invitations to people either in a dating context or a friend social context, it's important to remember that everyone craves these types of connections. Everyone wants friends. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants a person that they can come to and trust, and trust with their emotions, trust when they talk to them about difficult things that are happening. We need to know that everyone desires this, and we shouldn't let that stand in our way. But why do we do let that stand in our way?
People are incredibly self-centered. We are primarily thinking about how we feel and what other people are judging about us and how they perceive us and how we're acting. So 90% of the time, people don't even remember what you're doing and saying.
Or what you were wearing.
Right. Or anything else that you were doing. So all those things that you're worried about what other people are judging you for, they're only worried about how other people are judging them or what's mm-hmm. going on in their lives or the things they're stressed about
right.
or the things they need to get done. They're not even remembering it. So if we can step out of ourselves and remember that the only thing people really remember in a lasting way after interacting with us is how we made them feel. Did we make them feel great? Did we connect with them? Did we give them a compliment? If you make others feel great and you connect with them, now they'll remember you. And they'll remember you for all the right reasons. We have to stop worrying and getting into our own head and focus on what's one thing or two things or three things I can say before I leave church or before I leave this event or while on a date that will make the other person feel great. And if we do that, we will start connecting instead of disconnecting.
I want to thank Elisa so much for joining me today and sharing her thoughts on this topic. And if you'd like to take the self-evaluation quiz that she mentioned or to read a blog post that she wrote on this topic, they are available at mormonchannel.org/blog. We're going to close our show today with a quote from the Book of Mormon in Alma chapter 37, verse 47. And it says simply, "Look to God and live." And I think especially in the context of being a better friend to others, we need to look to the best example of friendship and love that we have, and that's the Savior. And when we do that, He'll help us to live happier, better lives, full of great relationships and connections. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.